Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. Rick and Tony are here with me. Gentlemen, we've got some crazy news to get to as usual, and we naturally start with someone making the wrong decision about Bitcoin. Let's jump in here. Japan rejects proposed Bitcoin reserve due to volatility concerns. The irony, of course, is in the past decade, the Japanese yen's lost 50% of its value. That is yeah, I can see why they'd be scared off by all the volatility. They've had enough of that over the last couple of years. So, Rick, why don't you start us off here? What do you think about Japan's decision?
Well, I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? Like the yen, the Japanese currency, is has been suffering for a long time, right? I think over the last 5 years, it's down something like 30% against the U.S. dollar. So, they have a currency that's in really bad shape. You know, interest rates over in Japan have been like really, really low for a long, long time now. I think they're currently at like 0.25%. And loads of people, you know, jump into things like the yen carry trade, right? So they go and borrow a whole load of yen because it's so cheap to do so. And then they go and park that money elsewhere. So, you know, if the U.S. dollar interest rates are at 4.5%, and the you know, the yen is at 0.25%, then you borrow the yen, change it into USD, and you can earn a nice little return. The problem is, like, greedy people, right? They get way too greedy. So they probably, what they're doing is they're borrowing a lot of yen, and then they're leveraging that yen and then buying other stuff. And you create, you know, it's just more clown world stuff, right? So the yen is going to continue to decrease in value, right? That's inevitable, and it's going to do so quicker than the dollar. And the fact that they're shying away from Bitcoin is quite remarkable. I mean, you know, it's funny that they mention the volatility. It's like, well, yeah, the yen is really volatile. It's down 30% in 5 years versus the dollar. And I think in the same time frame, I don't even know the numbers, but Bitcoin will be up by thousands of percent, right? So, I prefer, if we're going to do volatility, like, I think everyone would prefer upward volatility rather than downward volatility. So, yeah, you know, I don't know. The Japanese, a little bit crazy, right? This is some sort of kamikaze currency mission that they're on, and some sort of nation state level seppuku, right? Which I think is the Japanese term for taking your samurai sword and stabbing yourself in the belly with it. So, hey, look, I mean, if you're choosing the yen over Bitcoin, you're going to have a bad time. The only real interesting thing about this is that it shows, again, just how early we are, right? You would have thought the nation states would have, like, really intelligent advisors. You would imagine with all this money they print, they could buy some people's time to explain it to them. But everybody's still slow. So, look, before all the nation states figure this out, you should be buying it and front running them, right? But yeah, not bullish on Japan after this news.
It's crazy. And the funny thing is, I was just telling you before we got on the call, I had a guy out for furnace maintenance, and he's asking me about Bitcoin and asking if he should move all of his gold and silver into Bitcoin. Like, he understands, he gets it. And the entire nation, all the bureaucrats of Japan, can't figure it out. Like, this is the beauty of Bitcoin. We get to front run all the nation states and all the institutions. Tony, what do you think?
Man, a picture is worth a thousand words, right? What I think about Japan's decision? Here you go.
Donkeys.
Man, it makes you wonder who puts these people in charge of money. Right, like, I mean, when you hear about decisions being taken like this, to me it tells me that now that Bitcoin was, you know, it's part of the world that people are learning about money, it just shines like a really bright spotlight on how stupid the people running the current monetary system really are, because now we understand it, what it is that they're doing, or rather not doing. I mean, they're talking about volatility, their currency is flatlined, you know, like, if they want stability, of course, if they're at zero, you know, that's perfect for them. Or perhaps maybe they didn't want to let Germany, you know, be the hero of, you know, the dummy this decade. They wanted, like, to surpass them. And well, you know, there you go. There's another decision that, you know, eclipses, you know, the previous one. It's just mind-boggling, you know, how people still don't understand that prior to Bitcoin, these folks never had competition. So all of these moronic decisions went unnoticed because you just, you know, that's just how things were and nobody really paid, you know, much attention to it. But now that you have a point to compare it to, you know, all of a sudden you understand what's really going on and you're like, hold on a minute. Like, how did I put up with this for all of these years, you know, and like let myself get ripped off and actually listen to these monkeys and you actually think of them as like authority figures when it comes to my finances? You know, anyone with half a brain now, you know, just based on these decisions would opt out completely because this is on a one-way ticket to complete annihilation financially if you do nothing. So Japan's decision to avoid Bitcoin, well, you know, have fun staying poor and let's see how long that lasts. I think they make a 180 very in the not so distant future.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to. I think everyone will. All righty, let's jump into another company adopting the MicroStrategy Bitcoin corporate treasury strategy. So I assume this is pronounced Curl Technology Group. So we've got some copycats coming to the market, which is, again, to your point, Tony, inevitable that people are going to make this determination. I guess the question is just how quickly and over what time horizon we see that sort of play out. Tony, do you even get excited about this stuff? Am I boring you with this topic?
No, man. I mean, it's very interesting because now at least companies that don't provide much value can actually be profitable. Right? Because it's like a cheat code. All you have to do is keep buying Bitcoin and just sit around and wait. And now all of a sudden, you know, your company has value. And, you know, if you can raise more debt based on that, you know, essentially copying the MicroStrategy formula, just, you know, raise more debt, buy more Bitcoin, become wealthier. It's a copy paste formula at this point, you know, so I'm fairly certain we're going to see a lot more of these guys come up. You know, why not? If you know, if the tools are available for you, you might as well take advantage of them. Otherwise, somebody else will.
Yeah, Rick, I'll let you provide whatever comment you want. But I'm curious: do you think that 2025 is this going to be like every day we're seeing a new company? Like, do you think 2025 is like the year of institutional adoption?
Yeah, I mean, man, I'm worried that our podcast is going to get really, really boring, right? Because every week, oh, another company's bought Bitcoin, or another company's bought Bitcoin. I mean, I'm already tearing my hair out, right? I've heard more than I need to hear about MicroStrategy. I have no idea. What's this company called again? Curl?
K-U-R-L, I think.
Yeah, some company making batteries. Okay, they've bought Bitcoin. That's great. But they're still making crazy mistakes, right? Well, the first thing they did that makes sense is they allocated, I think, 90% of their surplus cash into Bitcoin. Good move, right? You don't want to be sitting in cash. That just evaporates. And then they've decided that they're going to use Coinbase and their Prime platform to custody it. And it's, oh, whoops, almost. You almost had it. So the honeypot grows larger, right? Like, you know, MicroStrategy's Bitcoin is in there with the ETF's Bitcoin is in there with. So look, if some disaster befalls Coinbase, this is going to get really messy, really, really quickly. And what I find fascinating about it is, you know, all over Bitcoin Twitter, how excited everybody gets, right? And then they charge in and they buy the stock instead of Bitcoin. And I struggle with this, right? Because surely the signal here is that Bitcoin is the thing that you want, right? Like, that's what everyone's competing over. That's what everybody's trying to get a slice of. And okay, maybe by buying a stock or something, you know, there's some short-term volatility that plays in your favor. Maybe it outperforms Bitcoin in the short term and you know, you feel like you're getting wealthier, but you're still measuring your wealth in dollars, right? At a certain point, that premium can't continue to exist, right? So, you know, I just feel like, look, this is the next rug pull that's waiting to happen, right? Like, so many people are going to charge into these trades. They're going to buy, you know, whatever stock announces that they're going to launch, they're going to buy Bitcoin, people are going to pile into that stock. And it, I mean, I wasn't around, right? Because I wasn't born yet. But it feels a bit reminiscent of the dot-com bubble, right? Where everybody just stuck .com on the end of any business name. to try and gain some affinity alongside what the internet was, you know, like an amazing creation. But then, you know, when the tide goes out, you realize a lot of these companies are not providing a huge amount of value. Like Pets.com was a famous one that blew up. So look, you know, am I surprised that companies are buying Bitcoin? No, I wouldn't be surprised if nation states bought Bitcoin. I'm not surprised when individuals buy Bitcoin. It makes sense to keep your wealth in Bitcoin. But why then people buy the stock of the company that bought Bitcoin? I don't really fully understand that. You know, you introduce a lot of third party, counterparty risk for one. These companies all keep all their Bitcoin in a giant honeypot. I just think, look, the answer is simple. It's buy Bitcoin for yourself, start your own reserve and keep it in self-custody. That's the play here. And I think that anyone looking for outsized returns versus Bitcoin is just greedy. And greed will often get punished, right? Is Bitcoin not giving you enough returns? Are you crazy? Like 70,000% or something in the last 10 years or something stupid? Like, how much is enough for these people? But hey, look, the number go up. Moon boys are here and they're here to stay. And listen, there'll be a whole bunch of people that put Bitcoin in self-custody and they will watch on as a lot of these people eventually get wrecked. I don't know when that's going to happen, but I'm pretty certain that at some point it's going to happen. Just buy Bitcoin and stop out like confusing yourself and trying to outmaneuver yourself and making bad decisions. It's not something I would recommend.
Yeah, I think people are just unaccustomed to life being as simple as buy something and hold on to it, you know, and we have to complicate things as humans, and it's insanity. All righty. Up next, we've got just in Russian companies have started using Bitcoin for international payments. And this obviously, I think a lot of the interest in Russia, it seems, came after the sanctions that were put on them at the start of the war. And I think Russia is figuring out, and I think Putin just said a couple of weeks ago, didn't he say, who can ban Bitcoin? No one. It's like nation states are beginning to figure this out, particularly those who are less financially privileged, such as Russia. Not that they've got a wealth of commodities and such, but you know, who are sort of ostracized by much of the international community. Tony, why don't you start on this? I'm trying to think about like how to frame the discussion here, because I think 2025 is going to be really big for institutional adoption. I think a lot is yet to be seen on nation state adoption. Like, is the U.S. really going to do a reserve or whatever? I think the chances of it being a priority in the Trump administration are relatively low. I'm surprised, though, that more people aren't really, really excited to see a nation state trading with Bitcoin in terms of what that means for global adoption. Like, to me, this is crazy news that Russia's allowing companies to just engage in international trade in this way. Like, exactly what Bitcoin's designed to be used for: cross-border payments, censorship-free. Tony, what are your initial reactions to this, and what do you think this means for cross-border payments moving forward?
This is extremely bullish. I'm very excited about this. You know, not because it's Russia specifically; it's because it's like a major nation now that's just legitimized, you know, Bitcoin as money. And is using it, you know, the way it's intended. This whole thing started when the U.S. weaponized the dollar. You know, this was the trigger that, you know, accelerated, you know, the demise of the dollar, because now people realized that, you know, if somebody can just, you know, pull a lever and just, you know, cut you right out of your own money, well, who in their right mind would want to continue using that garbage, right? I mean, that makes no sense. So of course they're going to go find an alternative. And you know, no matter where you look now, I mean, when you compare everything that exists, whether it's gold, silver, whatever it may be, to Bitcoin, you know, Bitcoin always wins for the simple fact that no one can control it. That is a massive, massive power that you have, you know, in a currency that is completely neutral and, you know, borderless, trustless, and just free for anyone to use. So for me, it was like inevitable that, you know, countries do this, and Russia's not going to be the last one, that's for sure. I mean, once they kick it off, other countries will start paying attention. You know, maybe they won't act immediately for whatever political reasons they have, but sooner or later, they're going to have to follow suit, because if they don't, they're going to be completely left out of the global game. You know, they will not be able to compete. And so Bitcoin fixes this. And we're heading to a world where there's no country that dictates money anymore. There will be no more country doing global reserve currency. The world reserve currency will be Bitcoin, and it belongs to the world, not to any one nation or government. That is the future we're accelerating towards, and it's extremely exciting. I'm very, very happy about this news.
Rick, what do you think?
Yeah, probably just echo what Tony's saying. I mean, when the US weaponized the US dollar, that was a big, big mistake. Because like Tony says, you know, it just completely erodes trust, right? Why would I use this product anymore if at any moment in time I can get rug pulled? And you know, America exports its inflation all around the world, right, using the US dollar. So, you know, the upsides for a lot of countries are now looking less and less meaningful compared to using a neutral currency, right? In the dollar, you have to trust. Bitcoin, you don't have to trust. And to your point, Michael, I think that's really important is, you know, there's an awful lot of people running around now talking about Bitcoin being an investable asset, right? Something that you just buy and hold and you just leave it there. You know, that it's not a currency to use for payments and that sort of thing. That kind of viewpoint always makes me laugh, given our entire company runs on Bitcoin and we make payments and take payments only in Bitcoin all the time, right? But now Russia's making payments in Bitcoin. So, you know, I wonder if that's going to put paid to those kind of viewpoints that Bitcoin can't, you know, function as a currency or something that we can make transactions in. So, yeah, I think that the thing that we're going to see, you know, you mentioned 2025 might be a big year for nation state adoption. I remember thinking that back when El Salvador adopted it. And I think what I've learned is that things just move so slowly, right? So slowly, because, you know, for an individual to suddenly wake up and decide, right, I'm going to be a Bitcoiner, I'm going to move on to a Bitcoin standard, that's something they can do in, you know, a couple of weeks, right? And get themselves sorted out. But nation states, you know, it's like turning a giant oil tanker, right? It's this huge bureaucratic machine. So, you know, Putin may well have made the decision when the sanctions were applied that, right, we're going to move in this direction. But I think in our little bubble that we all live in on Bitcoin Twitter, we think, okay, well, to us, the answer is really obvious. So it's just like, we'll just do that. Just do that now. Job done. Russia uses Bitcoin. End of story. But I think the actual, I don't know what legislation needs to be passed or what has to happen, but it's not going to happen overnight, right? So, I mean, well, I don't know. I could be wrong on that, right? Like, I guess if America suddenly moves, you might see other countries quickly pull their finger out and say, you know, sod the regulation. Let's just get going. But yeah, you know, it's incredibly bullish and almost inevitable, right? So again, don't, for anyone listening, like, don't sit on your hands and think, well, you know, I'll wait until Russia starts using it or I'll wait until America stops using it. Because at that point, you know, you've really missed the opportunity to get ahead of these people and actually like accrue a decent amount of wealth. So yeah, everything's bullish for Bitcoin as per usual. But the most bullish thing for you as an individual to do is to get some and then learn how to keep it safe and how to use it properly and all that good stuff.
Right. Yeah, I think my base case is that Russia, this is news that should be more noteworthy to many people, but I think we're still a cycle or two away from nation states really, really getting on board. I think all that changes if the US adopts a strategic Bitcoin reserve. Like, I think that changes everything. Or China. I mean, if some big, massively influential nation adopts a reserve, then yes, I think that changes everything. I think this cycle we're going to see a lot more of the institutional adoption, but I still think we're going to be early. I don't think it's going to be every day a new company is adopting MicroStrategy's playbook. I think it's going to be like an early majority begins to come in, and then maybe next cycle we see like the late majority enter, but only time will tell. Alrighty, guys, last bit of news. This is just a fun one. In 2024, Bitcoin obituaries have lost all relevance, similar to predictions about the end of the world back in 2012. So this is actually a pretty fun chart. You can see the number of Bitcoin obituaries that were reported on. It peaked in 2017, a lot in 2018, and in 2024 we are back down to very few. So people are done calling for the death of Bitcoin. Tony, what do you think? Do you think this trend continues, or do you think we're gonna like hit some headwinds again and we're gonna have a 50% drawdown and then the obituaries are gonna be back?
That's possible. I mean, people react on emotions. So if ever there's like a hiccup somewhere that gives us a 40 or 50% drop, then you're going to see these clowns come back up with their theories and their nonsense, posting that all over the place, only to be debunked, you know, like a few weeks later. The Bitcoin dying theory, that is dead and buried. Bitcoin is not dying. It's not going anywhere. It's here to stay. In fact, it's only going to grow exponentially from this point. You know, I mean, same with the internet. It came about slowly and then poof, it's everywhere. We haven't seen anything pertaining to what Bitcoin is capable of. I mean, right now we're still like prehistoric dinosaur early when it comes to Bitcoin. It's a protocol. So it's like almost like, you know, prehistoric email, if you want to compare it to the internet. So wait till the apps start coming and the layer twos become more fine-tuned and all of that fun stuff gets adopted by even more people when they realize that the benefits of holding money that no one can take away from them and that they can use whenever they feel like it, you know, at any given moment in time. Wait till that really clicks in. You know, when people start seeing that future, there's no stopping this. I mean, this is when you're really going to start seeing things move at like light speed, because it'll get people super excited about, you know, all the possibilities that all of a sudden, you know, they're like their aha moment when they see this. So the Bitcoin is dead. The conversations, those are dead and buried.
Rick, you've been around the block a few times. I think you've seen every year that they had up there. I think you've been in Bitcoin about. So you've seen the peaks and the troughs of the Bitcoin is dead narrative from the media. What's your take on this moving forward?
It's a tricky one to answer, right? Because, I'm bullish on Bitcoin, and I'm also bullish on most of the world slowly but surely figuring this out. So you'd expect the chart to keep decreasing. Fewer people deciding to write an obituary about Bitcoin because they've realized it's a dumb thing to do. But then I'm also pretty bullish on how stupid mainstream media is. So it's a difficult one. I don't have an answer for you, right? But here's the thing, right? Let's say something happens to Coinbase or a big exchange or something crazy. Like if Coinbase goes pop, I guarantee you there's going to be about 500 Bitcoin obituaries written in one day. They'll say, right, that's it, pack it up, Bitcoin's dead, we told you so. So I really don't know, but I mean, it's inevitable, isn't it? As time carries on, the amount of people that think Bitcoin's gonna fail will shrink and shrink and shrink, because the longer it lasts, the longer it's likely to last, right? Because it builds more people, the network grows stronger and larger and all that sort of stuff. So it's a shame, right? Because it's so much fun dunking on people who write these obituaries, right? And it means that, we're going to have to come up with even more new, fresh content. You know, it's a shame. I like these people giving us things to talk about on the podcast. But I'm sure they'll move on to some other nonsense sooner or later for us to have a giggle about.
I'm sure they will. And for anyone who's listening who is concerned that Bitcoin could potentially die, just know that all three of us run our own nodes. So even if everyone else in the world disappeared and all of their electronics with them, we would, the three of us, continue to sustain the network. So you don't have to worry about that. Guys, thanks for the time. For everyone listening, appreciate you tuning in. Go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast. We can help you with proper self-custody. We can help you run your own node, do it the right way. We help with online privacy, Plan B residencies. We can help you set up a privacy phone, all sorts of great stuff. Again, go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast. We'd love to chat with you. Gentlemen, thank you for the time. Look forward to catching up again in a few days.
Thank you, Michael. Always a pleasure, man.
Cheers.
Thanks, Michael.